Hi, I'm Kayla Zhao. I'm interviewing Ms. Lyle about the Beirut bombing. And so what was it? Where did it happen? What did it lead to? And where did it take place? And what was your role in during this event?
I was stationed overseas at Han Air Force Base. It was 1983, October. Hezbollah decided to attack a Marine base. They picked a very vulnerable one, and as a result of a massive bombing, 241 Marines and other civilians were killed in the bombing attack. Hezbollah was a supportive group of the Islamic group of Lebanon's civil war, and they also didn't like Western ideology. And I was stationed at Han Air Force Base, which is in central Germany, and as a result of the bombing, the young men that were killed and injured were sent about 50 miles away from me, and we were all called to perform extra duty as a result.
So what were you doing prior to the bombing? Like, what was your job before, and how did you get involved?
Again, I was a member of the United States Air Force since 28 February 1980, and I was stationed overseas at 50th Tactical Fighter Wing at Han Air Force Base. And when the attack happened, we were all called upon for extra duty to make sure that these terrorist attacks wouldn't extend outside of Lebanon and come to central Germany.
Okay. What happened during the bombing, like the condition in the battlefield?
I'm not aware of the total conditions because, again, I was stationed in Germany and it happened in Lebanon, Beirut, Lebanon. But the conditions we can tell afterwards was that the Marine Corps and the American military didn't do enough to secure the barracks where the guys died. So that was a tragic mistake. And the French also had people that died in the bombing. So we rectified that, but it didn't stop the bombings because, as you know, there have been multiple bombings of our military people stationed overseas since that time.
Mm-hmm. So was the unit that you're in was split between girls and boys, like, or mainly men?
No. The job that I did was ground support for the F-4 and the F-16 fighter jets. And in my specific AFSC, Air Force specialty, it was 88% male and 12% female.
So since there's only 12% female, how were the women treated? Were they treated equally?
No, absolutely not. The first year I made Air Force Person Maintenance Person of the Month, it had never been won by a woman, and usually the prize was you got a ride in an F-4 or an F-16 jet. When I won, the prize simply disappeared.
Yeah.
When I went to NCO training school, non-commissioned officer school, every person who's going from airman status to sergeant or above has to attend this training, and when I went down there, the film they were showing was about a man's ego and how a woman's worth was the number of cows she was worth on some island in the Samoans, and I had a bit of an argument with the commanding officer down there, and the film was removed. That's only one or two incidences of my time served in the military, but discrimination, gender discrimination against women was all over the place, but I persevered.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, so what was going through your mind during Obama? Like, were you scared, like your emotions?
Yes, as a result of that, again, we were put on high alert and we all had to make sure we did bomb checks on our car.
Mm-hmm.
So Ms. Lyle rolled on the ground every morning to check my car for any implanted bombs. And then we were stopped at the gate and heavily checked for a long time after the Beirut bombings.
Mm-hmm. So did you like write letters back home to like for concern?
Sure, I had a lot of letters going back and forth. And of course, I had a phone, so I was lucky.
Yeah.
I had my own apartment at that time.
Yeah. So how does this affect you through your life? Like, do you have any afterward, like, effects after the war?
It affected me quite a while after that because, again, I wasn't here in the United States. I was overseas in a military base and felt like we were a target every day I got up. But you get over it as time goes on until 9/11 hit here in New York City. And so the post-traumatic stress comes back.
Yeah.
So you deal with it.
So if you haven't served, what would you have contributed and how would you think your life would be different?
If I hadn't gone to the United States Air Force, I think I would have gone to college and become a nurse because that was my first draw. But I decided to do what my father did and serve my country. So I went in the United States Air Force.
Okay. If you become a nurse, would you still like help like with the military and help the injured?
Yes, because there's a program to serve your country through nursing programs where you can actually become part-time and serve your country and be a nurse. I know because when I went through basic training, 12 of the women in my squad were nurses.
So after you returned from the force, were there any sorts of discrimination from like people who supported it, this bombing, or like didn't support it, and how does it affect you?
I really didn't receive any of that because again, I was stationed overseas. And the people in the United States, while they had a reaction, it was nothing that transferred over to me when I got out of the service, no.
Okay. And how do you think this affected the politics in America? Like, how did this change as a person?
As a country and as people, I think it made us sit up and pay attention that Western ideology is not enjoyed around the world, and some people around the world hate us and wish to bomb us. And I think that was just the very, very beginnings of the true roots of hatred and terrorist attacks.
How do you think the president should respond to it?
Well, that's kind of hard to say. We've tried everything in the Middle East. We've tried peace, we've tried communications, we've tried on-ground peacekeepers, and people are still dying. It's very, very hard to change ideologies of people when they look at you as the enemy. Very hard to get people to sit down and work on peace and really, really want to have peace.
Like, what would you change about it, the event that happened?
The Beirut bombing, there's nothing you can do because, again, hatred is the root of all of these bombing incidences. And how do you stop people from hating? It's a big thing, and I teach. So I teach peace as much as I possibly can because hatred is something that it doesn't do anyone any good. I decided... Okay, so what did I do when I came home from the United States Air Force? Well, I had no house, no car, no job, no income. I came back to New York City with a child and decided I would put my efforts into the thing that I felt I could do best, which was teaching. Joined the Board of Education, and the Board of Education was an extremely difficult transition for me. But eventually, I passed all the tests and became a teacher. It's been a long 30 years. Things in the Board of Ed definitely, definitely need more help. But I love the children. And if you truly want to be a teacher, you have to love kids because most of them don't really want to come to school. And my military training has helped me a lot in the classroom because in my classroom, you have some kind of military structure where you know the teacher is in charge and you're there to learn. What can I say about the rest of the time? Our country has grown into a very divisive place where I think that people engage much more hate than they do peace. And I think that's a really sad statement because even in the school system, you're supposed to teach peace and not hatred. If we put all the effort we could into peace, I think each one of us in a daily basis could make the world a better place, but I don't know. There's a fascination going on with terrorism and bombings, and I think that's a dangerous place to be, especially when you're talking about children. We need to work harder to make the kids pay attention that you need to have a better education so that you can become a really good person and make a contribution to the community that you live in. And not think about doing something that would hurt other people, but things that would benefit other people. And I think as a country, if we would pull it together and just understand that we are all Americans, we can truly become the greatest country in the world, which we were before World War II.
Yeah.
I don't know, in the last 50 years, we seem to have stumbled our way into something else. But in retrospect, I don't think I would have changed anything. The police department, the FBI, all of these organizations called me in for duty and I said I wouldn't go. I didn't want to carry a gun anymore. I wanted to come into a place where I didn't have to carry a gun, where I could make a difference. And I feel like in teaching, I've done the best I could. I don't know, but I've tried my best, so.
Do you teach your kids your struggles in the battlefield, to show them you could do so much better, you could prevent it, you could help the United States, your nations?
Again, it comes down to teaching love or hatred. Hatred is easy. Picking up your fists and punching someone is very, very easy. But putting your fists down and trying to reconcile your differences before the fists come up, that's a hard, hard thing to teach them. And I teach ancient histories. It's a constant battle of everybody kills everybody. And do we learn from that? Nothing. We learn nothing. We've been caught in the same cycle for thousands of years. So I work at it one student at a time. And again, through ancient histories, I think the children get a good broad spectrum of what the world was like and have we come very far? Maybe we haven't come very far. So put down the fists, open your hearts, and start talking. Find the similarities and the shared interests in the world, and you'd find we're much more alike than we are different.
So most people don't know what the Beirut bombing is since it's overseas, right? What would you tell them, if they ask you, what was the Beirut bombing?
It was in the city of Beirut, Lebanon, in the middle of their long, 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 long civil war, which was horrifying. These people were decimated. Their economy was decimated. We went over there to sort of support them and keep them safe while they were trying to get over a civil war. And in the long run, our boys ended up dead because we got an outside faction that decided we didn't want Americans in Lebanon. They didn't want us there. And in order to make a statement, they blew up one of the easiest targets and killed over 200 Marines. And that was the price those Marines had to pay. Whereas the Lebanese people were happy to see us there to help. Did it help in the long run? The Lebanese engaged a war for over 30 years. It's very hard for me to say whether it was helpful or not. I'd like to think that those guys didn't die in vain. So, I don't know. The Beirut bombing was just another act of terrorism and where innocent people had to die for hatred. No reason. Have we learned from that from 1983 till now? I would hesitate to say yes. So.
Okay. Thank you. And...